Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
You don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. This salvation in Acts 2:38 is not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another play building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Welcome and to another episode of Kingdom of God Ministries. We're so glad you could join us. Tonight we will be talking about witchcraft, exposing spiritual witchcraft in the church. Amen. And if you would like to join in, feel free to call us on our guest call-in line. That would be 646-668-8633. We have a guest call-in line, and you are invited to join us. We would also like for you to visit us on our website. We have our website up, and you could go directly to that and send us an email and just let us know if you're enjoying the program. Our website address is www.bigme4.wix.com/KOGM. Amen. And you can also send us an email as well. Before we get into the program, we will start off in prayer. And we have the open mic tonight. Guest call in number again is 646-668-8633. We'll start off with prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you for another day, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Lord God, we just honor you and we worship you. Lord, as we go before your holy throne on tonight, we ask that you equip us, that we will bring the unadulterated word. We will only speak what you would have us to speak. Lord God, we ask that when our voices go out throughout the airwaves, that you touch, deliver, set free, heal. Lord God, we believe in the fivefold ministry here. We believe in the prophecy, words of wisdom and knowledge. We believe in the gifts of healing. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, we believe your word. And Lord, as we go forth, we ask that you strengthen us. Help us to be what you called us to be. Lord God, give us the strength to move forward. Lord, and we thank you for this platform that you have given to us on tonight. And we will go as the Holy Spirit leads. We welcome the Holy Spirit to have preeminence in this service on tonight. Amen? Amen. So with that, we will be speaking on exposing spiritual witchcraft. I have Bishop Bobby Montgomery here in the studio with us. And we're going to start off with idolatry. A lot of people don't realize it, but idolatry is witchcraft. You might say, what are you talking about? A lot of times we associate witchcraft in just one segment. We think witchcraft is just, you know, the incantations and maybe the cauldron where you do types of spells and things like that. But according to the Bible, idolatry is a form of witchcraft as well. So I want to bring it out that if you got an idol or pastor you idolize or any kind of little statues that you feel that that's the only way that you can get to God, and if you got the Mother Mary or you got some kind of statue you got to pray to, that's idolatry. That's witchcraft. Do we need to have statues? Do we need? It's okay to have them, but you shouldn't be praying to them. You shouldn't be praying to St. Paul or St. Peter. You pray to Jesus Christ. He's our mediator. You don't have any reason to be trying to resurrect dead saints, talking about, I have to pray to St. Paul to get this or to get this blessing, get that blessing. Jesus, look, when Paul and the disciples walked the earth, and I remember, I believe it was over in Acts, where the young man, he fell down there, he had blessed him, and he fell down to worship Paul, I believe. Was it Paul and Silas?
Yes, it was.
Okay, and he told him to get up, don't worship us. We're mere men just like you. The only person you should be worshiping is Jesus Christ. And if you remember over in Exodus, the reason God did not allow them to know where Moses was buried, because he didn't want them to make a shrine of Moses and worship Moses. God is the only one that should get our adoration and our praise and our worship. So you shouldn't be sitting up here worshiping your pastor. I'm saying even not worshiping your wife. And some people worship their kids. Look, there is a balance. You can love your spouse, you can love your children, but you should not be putting them above God. God said, have no other God before me. So let's go on. And idolatry is the worship of an idol or physical object as a representation of a God. In all the Abrahamic religions, idolatry is strongly forbidden, although views as to what constitutes idolatry differ. We know that in some other religions, the use of idols is accepted. And I can name one of the mother churches. I believe it's the Catholic Church. So when they put out certain idols, that's accepted in their church. Amen? Behavior is considered idolatry or potentially idolatrous. May include the creation of any type of image, of the deity or of figures or religious significance such as prophets, remember what I said, saints, clergy, creation of images of any person or animal at all, and the use of religious symbols or secular ones. In addition, Christians, we shouldn't have idols. We shouldn't be praying to idols. It includes giving importance to other aspects of religion or to non-religious aspects of life in general. Idolatry not only refers to false pagan worship. Mm-hmm. Man commits idolatry whenever he honors a creature, listen to that, in place of God. Did you hear that? Whether this be gods or demons, for example, mm-hmm. Satanism, power, pleasure, race, ancestors, the state of money. Wow. You might say, what? I believe we was on Pastor Overton, we were talking about all this greed in the body of Christ. When they put money up as an idol, God is not pleased with that. And notice we were talking that a lot of, all you hear on televangelism is money, money, money. Right. So this is what they're saying. They have put that money above God. Because our main objective as men and women of God is to bring people into the kingdom of God. But the televangelists, a lot of these preachers have put the money above God. So therefore, the money becomes their idol. Amen? Some Islamic societies with Sharia law, idolaters may face death penalty. The avoidance of use of images for religious reason is called, and that word is running, it's like the destruction of religious images with culture is called just idol worship. And don't you see it in our culture today?
Amen.
We have so much, this is why we're saying in the church, anytime you need to use incantations, you need a prayer cloth, or you need all these little kind of tricks to get your blessing, it's idol worship, okay? So we're going to go directly into our scripture, and Pastor, he can read that. We're coming out of Galatians.
Amen. We're coming out of Galatians 5. We're going to start at the 16th verse, and we're talking about exposing spiritual witchcraft in the church. And believe it or not, as Evangelist Montgomery was bringing out, is that a lot of people think of incantations, spells, witches, Wiccan, Kent, and all these things like this. But the works of the flesh, according to the word of God, and I'm going to bring this out, is also considered in the category of witchcraft. Now, in Galatians 5, starting at the 16th verse, we're talking about the works of the flesh, and it says, Galatians 5 and 16 reads this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not do the works of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we're talking about exposing spiritual witchcraft in the church. And all the things that I mentioned are the things that are involved in various occultic practices, various satanic practices, and witchcraft. All these things are involved in that. So if a person that is a believer are practicing these things, and notice I said practicing. I didn't say you might err sometimes. I say a person is practicing these things, he is participating in witchcraft. Now, on the other side of the spectrum, let's go to the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, not a spirit, but the Spirit. And the Spirit is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, Now, we are talking about exposing spiritual witchcraft in the church. In order to expose something, you have to bring it to light. If something is in the dark and you can't see it, it's not exposed. But we are exposing spiritual witchcraft. It's not, you know, we talk about witches and we talk about warlocks. We talk about all these different things. Like somebody's casting spells and you got the voodoo dolls and all this. And all that is a part of witchcraft, too. But when it comes to the church, it's subtle. It's not easily seen. We're talking about witchcraft. We're talking about control, trying to force somebody to do something.
Disobedience.
Disobedience, merchandising people. And we're going to get into a lot of other things in reference to our subject, exposing spiritual witchcraft in the church. You notice I said a lot of people are dealing with spirits, but they're not dealing with the Spirit of the Most High God. They're dealing with they're dealing in divination. They're dealing in familiar spirits. They're dealing in, Kundalini spirits, false Holy Ghosts. They're dealing in things of that nature. And that is under the context of witchcraft.
Amen.
So, we're gonna talk about some things. We're gonna talk about prophecy and divination. Now, prophecy, what true prophecy is, it is a word of God through one of God's people. And whenever a true prophecy is brought forth, it's going to encourage you in God, it's going to strengthen you, it's going to tell you what God is doing in your life, but you're going to have a witness in that the prophecy or the person that's bringing the prophecy to you is going to, connect with a word that God has already placed in your spirit. So God will already deal with you in the area that the word of God is speaking out to you formally. That's how it works.
But you know, nowadays you have a lot of these self-made prophets, you know, or dial a prophet. You can go on TV, you can dial a prophet, and they'll give you a word. So how is that biblical? Amen?
Amen. That is not biblical. See, one thing about prophecy I want to bring out. Prophecy is refreshing. It brings out the truth. It never contradicts the word. It encourages obedience to God. All right? It's prophecy foretell. It's not foretelling. So it's not a psychic prediction. It's none of that. Now, we have some scriptures here of true prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14 and 4 says, it must build up the body, encourage and not discourage. 2 Timothy 3:16. It must agree with Scripture. That's prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
John 16:13-14 and Revelation 19:10. It must exalt and glorify Jesus. Not a person.
Mm-hmm.
Not an angel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It must exalt and glorify Jesus. Romans 8:15 and 2 Corinthians 3:6. It must produce life and liberty.
Hmm.
And we're going to get into a little of that a little later. Deuteronomy 18:22, it must come to pass. Now, prophecy will come, may not come to pass in your time frame. It might not, you might, you have heard a prophecy, you think it's going to happen next week. No, it may not happen next week. It may happen in 2 or 3 months. It may happen in a year, but it will happen.
But how would they know if it's from God or if this prophet is truly from God? This is what I see a lot of this is being put out in the body of Christ. So you got a lot of, like I said, a lot of these prophets, they telling people things that's to come, fortune telling.
Mm-hmm.
And, it may not come to pass within a year or 2 years. How would a person discern if that's of God or not?
Well, the scripture tells us that we have to test our spirits. And how do we test our spirits? We test our spirits by the word of God and by the Holy Ghost. That's how we do it. Because the enemy himself, the devil himself, he can fake prophecy. He can say things and do things and do a fake prophecy, and you think it's God and it's the enemy. It's just like somebody throwing a rock against a wall, and while a rock is in there, he's saying the rock going to hit the wall.
Hmm.
We know it's going to hit the wall because he just threw it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the enemy works. He sets things up, and then he'll tell you this is going to happen because he has already set it up to happen.
Hmm.
Has nothing to do with God. But most of the time when the enemy gives a prophecy or a word, if you notice, it's bad most of the time.
Yeah,
it's a curse
most
of the time. Now, how can he prophesy this? He can prophesy this or speak this thing because he has already set it in motion. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He has already set it in motion to deceive you.
So you be in agreement with it, and then
you activate, you agree to it, and so therefore he may bring it to pass. But many times when the devil does these things, you turn over to the Lord, you give your life to the Lord, that is counsel. Because the Spirit of the living God has covered you by the blood of Jesus Christ, and the attributes or the acts of the enemy will not come to pass. Because it's false anyway. It's not true. It's not real. Now, Deuteronomy 13:1-5, it says, it must lead to obedience to God. Now, there's something else I wanted to bring out.
With Saul, by the obedience. Okay.
I want to bring out the rebellion aspect that is always compared to witchcraft. And I already brought out the works of the flesh, which is witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Now, it's a rebellion. Rebellion compared to witchcraft, and it also deals with disobedience also. But I want to just bring out a few things. Then we have word curses too. Now, word curses, if you have a pastor or if you have anybody, any believer that's going to curse another believer or say negative things about another believer or try to use that as an aspect of control, well, if you don't do this, then God is going to destroy you, or are you going to get some kind of disease, or something bad is going to happen to you, then you will know that that person
is not a true person of God.
He is not a true prophet. He is not a true anything in God when he's cursing people, because the word of God tells us that we bless and not curse. You see, we're not supposed to be like what James was saying, whereas bitter and sweet water is coming out the same fountain. No, that's not how that works. So we're talking about exposing spiritual witchcraft. We want to bring out witchcraft in the body so that you can root it out and get it out of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You get it out of. Now, I want to talk about Saul a little bit. And we know the story of Saul, but we want to bring it out a little bit.
Did you want me to read it?
You can read it.
Okay,
yes.
Coming out of 1 Samuel, and for those who are not familiar with the story of Saul, why he was turned over to a reprobate, I'm coming out of 1 Samuel. Also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me, Samuel was the prophet, sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord, too. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, not how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. 3. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. 4. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telem, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, S-H-U-R, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all of the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, that's disobedience right there, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good. See, God told him to destroy everything.
Mm-hmm.
But he was saving some of them, the fatling, the lambs. Yeah, so I'm going to put
stuff.
This in the tub. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refused, that they destroyed utterly. 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, the prophet, saying, now see, these were true prophets of God.
Amen.
They did exactly what God told them to do. So then the word of the Lord came unto Samuel, saying, 11, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. God said he was Saul, that he set this man up to be king. For he is turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel the prophet, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and is gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel said to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord.
Yes.
And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of sheep in my ears? And the lowing of the oxen which are here. He said, you said you did everything God told you to do, but God told you to destroy everything. Now I'm hearing some sheep and oxen.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And Saul said, they have bought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. See, he's trying to get holy then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to get some of these little sheep, and maybe if we do a sacrifice to God, God will be pleased with it. I just want to say something, too. A lot of this filthy lucre that people is getting and bringing it to the house of God. I hear so many people say, well, God don't care how you bring the money. Go make your money, honey. And I heard one pastor say, you got to lay on your back to get your blessing. What kind of mess is this? You see, God don't want no unholy sacrifice. He said, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, that means when you was a nobody, Was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yeah, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, lying, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, the sheep, best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to be sacrificed unto the Lord. That's why he was saying he justified, and that's why we kept it, because we wanted to give this sacrifice to God. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And you see how people, they beat this scripture up so bad, mm-hmm. don't they?
Yes, they do.
Obedience is better than sacrifice. Did you just hear what he said? God wasn't concerned with that sacrifice, but he wanted his obedience. And to hearken then the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft.
Amen.
And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Didn't I just bring that out? So we were looking at idolatry as artifacts and little statues and things. But look, God says stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry also.
Amen.
Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Amen.
Amen.
And do you want me to read on?
Go ahead.
Okay, and 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people, and obeyed their voice. Let me tell you something. When God called you men and women of God to preach the word, the unadulterated word.
Amen.
We can't fear men.
Amen.
We can't fear people. We can't hold back teaching the true word of God.
That's
because we don't want to be fearful of people.
Amen.
Or we fearful that we won't get a big church. I told Bishop the other day, I was listening to the radio, and there's one church in, I think, North Carolina. And they was having their baptismal pool. Do you know in the sanctuary they have put a big water slide in the sanctuary for the baptism? And what they do, they just have this giant water slide, so they just push the people down on the water slide, and they're calling this baptism. See, the church is compromising too much.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing all this just to get people up in your church because you want entertainment and you don't want the Holy Spirit moving.
That's right.
Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle and rent it. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord has rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day. He took it from him.
Mm-hmm.
And has given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him, delicately. Mm-hmm. And Agag says, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childish among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal.
Amen.
See, them prophets, they didn't play. They were strictly doing what God told them to do. But all these compromising prophets nowadays, dollar prophets, you're lying prophets. That's what you are. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to the house of Gibeah of Saul, and Saul and Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And all this is under exposed disobedience, but it's all, and rebellion is all under exposed and spiritual witchcraft in the church. Of course, the Old Testament was before the church began, but this witchcraft is still existed. Now, we're talking about prophecy, we're talking about false prophets, we're talking about prophecy and divination. And divination, what it is accessing hidden knowledge through demonic sources. Now, the Greek word of divination comes from the root word python. The spirit of python counterfeits the spirit of prophecy. Did you hear that? Python counterfeits the spirit of prophecy. Divination is a form of witchcraft that possesses psychics, witch doctors, spiritual advisors, medicine men, New Age gurus, voodoo priests, and priestesses, mediums. In Deuteronomy 18:14, that we are not permitted to practice divination, sorcery, or any witchcraft, because it's an abomination to God. Now, I'm going to read out the scriptures, Acts 16 and 16, and we're familiar with that, but I wanted to bring it out because it's talking about what we're talking about here. It says, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now, I'm reading this out because some of this is still being exercised in the church. This young lady was given words or prophesying or going like wisdom and knowledge, but it was divination. By soothsaying, said the same Father Paul in us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Now what happened, the woman, she was telling the truth. They were men of the Most High God. They were bringing people to Jesus Christ. But what was actually happening, because of the way that woman was acting, people was looking at her and going away from the apostles, because this woman was acting in such an unseemly way, even though she was telling the truth. Well, why am I bringing this out? Because money was involved. When this girl said what she said, when she operated in the spirit, she had people that was
paying her.
She was getting paid for this, and when she got paid, she gave it to her masters. Now, when this demon was cast out of her, her masters got mad about it because they couldn't make any more money. Those are the same kinds of things that's happening in many churches today. That's why we are speaking on exposing spiritual witchcraft in the church. That was a demonic spirit that was giving this girl the information. It's the same thing that's happening in many churches today. Demonic spirits are masquerading as fruit of the spirit or gifts of the spirit to deceive people.
But didn't he say, by their fruits you will know them?
Mm-hmm.
So another way to discern if a prophet is of God or not, a true prophet, watch their life.
Yes.
Because they will tell on themselves. They will expose themselves. You just watch how they live, how they conduct. And I want to say this to even bishops, to apostles. You know, it gets so messed up in the church now. We have pastors and prophets. They divorce and you know, I have, you don't get caught up on that, but this is just raggedy. It's rampant in the body of Christ. You get tired of your wife, so somebody will prophesy to you and tell you that other woman's supposed to be your wife.
Nah.
That is, the devil is a lie, and I want to bring notice on these lying prophets.
Yes.
God would never tell you to leave your wife and go get another sister or brother in the church.
Amen.
And you still married. I've seen so much foolishness. This is a lying spirit that has to be exposed. And it's going on in the body of Christ. People just divorcing people just like you change your underwear.
That's right.
They get tired. We knew one man. He was married. And what was it? Bigotry?
Yeah.
On the internet had a looked like, I think it was some kind of charge of bigotry. But he was married, calling himself an apostle. Bigamy. But he was an apostle. Look, you guys, church, you better learn how to discern these false preachers, false pastors, false apostles.
Mm-hmm.
It's rampant. And because they run around, there's no kind of order. Anybody called himself a prophet. Prophetess, prophet, tax. Watch the fruit.
Amen.
Check that fruit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're talking about exposing spirits. Now, yes. Now, let's go over some of the traits of this divination or false prophecy or whatever. The traits are confusion, word curses, accusations, condemnation, discouragement, depression, flattery, and twisted scriptures. Now, evidence of the spirit of Python on an individual, on a person, is look at this here. They promote their self.
Self-exaltation. Wow.
Desire recognition.
Wow.
They have ungodly motives.
Mm.
That they manipulate folks. Controlling.
Ooh.
And then it says they suffer from sicknesses a lot. Difficulties in breathing. They have a heavy weight feeling of despair on them.
Hmm.
Now, that is some of the traits
mm-hmm.
of a false prophet,
mm-hmm.
of somebody who is operating in divination,
mm-hmm.
or they are operating through mm-hmm. familiar spirits or demons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're talking about exposing spiritual witchcraft in the church.
Amen.
And if we're going to expose that, we got to bring it all out. Not only that, now, the love of money is also a good recognition of somebody who's false. Now, when we say love of money, we mean somebody who will do anything for it. We need money. We have to pay our bills. We have to operate the church. But when we talk about this money thing, we're talking about merchandising God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Financing extravagant lifestyles.
Jesus.
You know, they who embrace spirits, they're a merchandiser.
Yeah.
A merchandiser sells prophecies.
Products.
They sell healing. They sell religious oil. Mm. They sell potions and various products that reinforce their message. They typically work in their own networks.
Yeah.
Focusing on getting as much money from people as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Got all kind of gimmick offerings
yeah.
that manipulate people.
Yeah.
Recruit followers to join the groups.
Hmm.
And say, work every kind of evil when it comes to stealing from God's people.
My
now
God.
That's under spiritual witchcraft.
Jesus.
And we're exposing it.
Amen.
We're
Amen.
Bringing it out.
Yeah.
So, now, the sad thing about these type of individuals is you can't talk to them.
Oh, no.
You can't reason with them.
Mm-mm.
If you
bring
this to their attention, they'll kick you out of the church. They'll reject you.
Or try to send a word curse.
Or they'll try to send a word curse on you.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to worry about that because you're covered in the blood. And since you're covered in the blood, you might want to get out of there anyway.
Yeah.
So you don't have to feel bad about that rejection, because that rejection could be protection for you.
Amen.
Because you don't need to be in that situation. Now, there's some other things I want to bring out, because we talked about
they was talking also about this astral projection.
Yeah, astral projection. None of that stuff is of the Spirit of God. Now, see, the New Testament prophets is primarily used for edification, exhortation, and comfort. 1 Corinthians 14:3. See, this gift also helps turn logos, the written word, to rhema, to the living word, a life-giving word, as the Holy Spirit wills or the Holy Ghost wills. But a psychic uses demons' powers to prophesy. The prophets of God are not mystics. True prophets of God get their word directly from God via the Holy Ghost, and they're going to say something to you that will strengthen you in the things of God. It will not tear you down. It will not destroy you. It will not curse you. It's going to strengthen you and turn you more to God and more to Jesus Christ. That's what a prophet does. He will strengthen you in the things of the Lord. Now, if you are in error, if you're doing something wrong that's separating you from God, they will tell you that, because God is love. And God does not want you to do things that will separate you from Him. So He will send word to you. Get it straight. Get it together. I love you now. You do this, you do that, and God is with you. That's what it's about.
Amen.
I want to talk about word curses a little bit here. And I'm coming out of 2 Kings 9:22. But this is talking about Jezebel. You're familiar with that. But this is right before the wicked queen's demise. So Jehu offered insight into the open door for the Jezebel spirit when he told her son, "What peace, so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many." The spirit of Jezebel is essentially a spirit of seduction that works to escort believers into immorality and idolatry. Revelation 2:20. We're talking about exposing spiritual witchcraft in the church. And the two things that I just mentioned is happening in a lot of churches. It's happening in a lot of churches. A whole lot of immorality and idolatry is being exercised and practiced in many churches.
The sad thing, you see the immorality and supposedly the headship.
That's right. And you can't stay under that, because that spreads. And this spirit uses witchcraft against its enemies. Mm. Jezebel's witchcraft was rooted in what?
Rebellion.
The type of witchcraft in this verse refers to incantations and spells.
Hmm.
Now, some of that is going on in various churches across the land. In the modern church world, we call them word curses. Jezebel released a word curse against Elijah that carried a spirit of fear when she sent him this message. "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not their life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." Look, believers do not speak word curses. Pastors, bishops, apostles do not speak word curses over God's people. They don't speak word curses at all. That is from witchcraft. It's of the devil. We bless. We don't curse.
Amen.
We seek people to come into the kingdom of God. We don't seek for people to be lost.
But I just read when Samuel the prophet went to Saul, he didn't send a word curse. He went directly under the direction of what God told him to do.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
But like you said, a lot of times these so-called prophets, they'll send a word curse. "Well, if you don't do this, God showed me you're going to die." "Well, God showed me you're a witch." That is not of God.
No, it is not. And anybody that practices that and does that, you will know that that person is not of God.
Amen.
He's a false prophet.
Yeah.
He's a false. He's false. That's what it is.
False,
that's
yeah.
what the that's what the word says. I'm gonna go a little further. Now, in modern times, word curses always aren't always so dramatic. We might speak negatively over somebody's life, or we'll say things that they'll never hold a job acting like that. Their marriage is bound to fail.
Ooh.
The way he treats her. The doctor say he's going to die in 30 days. That's sad. That's terrible. When you do that, you are agreeing with the enemy's plan and giving power to it with our anointed mouth.
Mm-hmm.
The power of death and life are in the tongue, Proverbs 18:2.
Mm-hmm.
If you are inadvertently or purposely releasing witchcraft over people with the words of your mouth, repent and get your mouth back in line with the Spirit of God. So that's dealing with word curses. One other little thing I want to bring out here, talking about searching hidden secrets. We're exposing spiritual witchcraft, and so we're going to bring this out. Prophets of Christ depend only on the Holy Ghost and the Spirit and the written word of God. They don't need objects from people's clothing, lots of hair, photos to assist their prophetic utterances. They don't need to astral project into the spirit world.
Hmm.
True prophets will not blend the New Age teachings of the God self into their teachings or try to unlock hidden meanings or secrets within Scripture.
Hmm.
I'm going to bring this out. They don't sell prophecies, potions, or elections. They are not occultic soothsayers, mediums, or shamans. Occultic search for hidden secrets and knowledge of the hidden. They use various methods to find obscure truths like numerology and the reading of Hebrew symbols and letters.
Mm.
Kabbalah practitioners, for example, look for knowledge of the hidden in numbers and symbols.
Mm.
This is not biblical. Where does that come from? It comes from Babylonia.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from ancient times. It doesn't come from God. Now, we have the book of Numbers, but it has nothing to do with numerology.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything has meaning, but when things are done in the proper context, it all points back to God, back to the Spirit of the living God. It points to the Word of God. It points to holy living. But this stuff here points to the person and points to a future context that you want. That's what the horoscope does. See, some people use Hebrew calendars, annual symbols, to prophesy events of the coming year. That's not the working of the Holy Ghost. Horoscope. These are signs of ancient Babylonian soothsayers.
Hmm.
Listen to this. Now, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law, Deuteronomy 29 and 29. What that is saying is the things that are God is God's. In other words, hidden knowledge, what we don't know in reference to the Spirit of God, is God. It's God. If he wants to reveal that to us, he will. You don't have to get in cohorts with familiar spirits and go to trying to figure out stuff through different ancient texts and all this kind of stuff. When you do that, you're falling into witchcraft.
But you notice most of these self-made prophets, they always say that they had an angel to come to them
mm-hmm.
with some kind of hidden knowledge.
Yeah.
So they always trying to say that they got some kind of hidden knowledge that the angel of God gave to them.
Yeah.
That's to pump themselves up, to make themselves look like they're all that.
Yeah.
Another thing, they have all these, like you said, artifacts, angel dust, or what is that, gold dust.
Yeah.
All this foolishness, and people is sucking it up because they want, some kind of quick fix?
Yeah.
Or, you know, rather than fall on your face seeking the Lord, you go to these soothsayers. Really, they're just soothsayers,
mm-hmm.
but they just disguising themselves as prophets or And you're going there to get a word.
Yes.
Why don't you get in the word of God to get the word of God?
Amen.
Stop always going from place to place looking for a word.
That's right. Amen. That's so true. We have to be careful because we are truly living in the last days.
Amen.
And the enemy is making a full frontal attack in every aspect.
Yeah.
In every aspect. Only thing you have to do is look at the news.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing you have to do is just look outside your window sometimes, and you'll see the enemy just making a full attack.
Yeah.
And the sad thing about it, he has infiltrated the church with all this new age foolishness
mm-hmm.
and all this demonic stuff. And people are not discerning
mm-hmm.
anything.
No.
They are just accepting it as the word of God. They're not even testing it.
No.
Be of the word of God. They're not even, they're just accepting, just swallowing it
mm-hmm.
like a fish swallowing a hook.
Okay.
So that's why we're speaking on this, exposing spiritual witchcraft in the church, because you can't grow in the things of God if you're under the influence of witchcraft.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're not going to grow like that. You're going to become weaker and weaker in the Lord because you're sucking up poison. You're sucking up poison. So we only have a short period of time left. We only have a few minutes left, so we're going to get ready and close this out. But we want you to realize and discern. Ask the Lord to give you a discerning spirit so you can start to recognize when the enemy is exercising witchcraft around you.
And I want to say this, Pastor. If you're in a particular church and you can identify with some of the things that we spoke on tonight, and you have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit in you is telling you it's something is wrong, I mean, you got these spiritual antennas. The radar is going off. Don't try to say, well, I'm going to just stay here and pray for it. You might need to run for your life.
Amen.
Sometimes it's best to get up and get out of there rather than to try to sit there because you can get sucked up into that. Stop it. Get up out of there. If your spiritual radar is going off, and I'm not talking about judging people, but I'm talking about when you know something is contrary to the word of God, that Holy Spirit in you will let you know
mm-hmm.
that it's time you need to leave.
And there's people are not repenting and trying to change and trying to obey the word of the Lord and bending their knees and repenting,
but
praying.
But what did we say?
Mm-hmm.
Witchcraft, when there's a lot of confusion,
mm-hmm.
strife, this is going on in the body of church,
mm-hmm.
the Christ. If you are at a church where there's always confusion, backbiting, gossiping, you better search some things. Amen? Amen. So with that, we're going to close it out, and we just want to thank the listeners for listening. Tell somebody about the program. Hey, we keep it real here, and we just want you to be blessed. Lord God, we thank you for another we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have opened up this platform that we could present your word. And, Lord God, we ask that you just touch the minds of your people.
Amen.
Touch the hearts, Lord God. Give them the discernment that they need, Lord God. Lord God, we just want to thank you. We give you all the praise and glory. We will see you next week. Love you. Be blessed. Amen.